Welcome to episode 48 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have another good episode for you where we will learn all kinds of things about English. The Everybody ESL podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, on TuneIn Radio, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. The theme for this episode's vocabulary is one of the most important things of life today. I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about cell phones. That's right, the theme for this week's vocabulary list is cell phones. And the first word on the list is charger, C-H-A-R-G-E-R. The charger is the little device that you use to give power to your cell phone. It's the little device you use to recharge your phone. The next word is icon, I-C-O-N. I guess icons are found on computers too, and all kinds of other devices, not just cell phones. But an icon is a little picture or a little symbol. And often icons are used to represent apps or functions on a cell phone or other device. The next word is swipe, S-W-I-P-E. Before cell phones, swipe meant to sweep or to hit something with a sweeping motion. And it also meant to steal or to snatch something. But now, when it comes to cell phones, swiping means moving your fingers across the screen in a certain way to change the display. The next word is decline, D-E-C-L-I-N-E. Now, decline usually means to politely turn down a request or to refuse in a polite way. So you can decline an invitation. Somebody invites you to some event, and you can't go or you don't want to go. And so if you want to refuse in a polite way, you decline the invitation. And when you get a call on your cell phone, you have the option of taking the call and talking to whoever is calling you, or declining the call. In other words, politely refusing to take the call. The next word on our list is butt dial. Butt dial, B-U-T-T-D-I-A-L. To butt dial someone is to call someone or dial a number with your butt. Maybe your phone is in your pocket, and by walking around or sitting down and standing up, you call somebody by accident. That is butt dialing somebody. Sometimes this is also called pocket dialing, P-O-C-K-E-T, pocket dial. You might call somebody without even realizing it, and later they might say, "Did you call me earlier today? Nobody was there." And then you could say, "Oh, I must have butt dialed you." Butt dial, there's a good one. That's a good term. How about ringtone? R-I-N-G-T-O-N-E. A ringtone is a sound that a phone makes when a phone call is coming in. Now, an old-fashioned phone used to ring. But cell phones can make any kind of sound when a call comes in. And those sounds are called ringtones. Kind of makes you think of an old-fashioned phone. An old-fashioned phone ringing when a phone call is coming through. What about mute? M-U-T-E. Well, as a verb, to mute means to make silent or to turn the volume down. So if you put your phone on mute, if you turn on the mute mode, that means your phone won't make any sound when a phone call comes in. Or when you're talking on the phone, you can tap the mute button, and that will turn off the microphone. It will mute your end of the conversation. It will turn the volume all the way down or silence the volume on your end of the phone call. And the last word in our list of cell phone vocabulary is scroll, S-C-R-O-L-L. Now again, scroll is used for other things besides cell phones. We also use it when we talk about computer screens. And what it means is to move text or graphics up or down on the screen. Now what's interesting to me about this word is before cell phones and before computers, scroll meant something very different. A scroll was a very old document, not all bound together in pages like a book, but a single long sheet of paper or something called parchment. And a scroll was often rolled up. So to read a scroll, you would unroll it. And I guess, in a way, that's kind of what you're doing when you move text or graphics up or down the screen. You are unrolling a scroll, kind of. So now, to scroll means to move text or graphics on a screen. Well, that is our list of cell phone vocabulary. This episode's small talk topic, or social situation, is a very simple one. It might sound a little bit old-fashioned, but I think this is a situation that people still find themselves in sometimes. Here's the situation I'm talking about. You don't have a watch, and I guess you don't have your phone with you either, so you don't know what time it is, and you want to ask somebody if they know what time it is. That sounds simple enough, and it is simple. But what exactly do you say? What's the right way to go about getting this information? Well, of course, the first thing you say, I'm sure you all know already, is, "Excuse me," because, as I've mentioned several times before, and as you might already know, that is the way we usually start a conversation with a stranger. So you would say, "Excuse me," and then there are really two common things that people say. The first one is, "Do you have the time?" That just means, do you know what time it is? Do you have the time? Excuse me, do you have the time? Or, "Do you know what time it is?" Excuse me, do you know what time it is? That's really all there is to it. It's a very simple conversation. It's a problem with a very simple solution. For this episode's grammar lesson, I wanted to talk a little bit about subjects. Now, in some languages, it's just fine to have a sentence with no subject. You can just leave the subject out and the sentence will sound totally fine, will sound totally grammatical, and everyone will understand what you're saying. English, in general, is not one of those languages. In most cases, a sentence in English requires a subject. You can't just leave it out. Take a look at this English sentence. "It is raining." That's a very basic English sentence, right? It is raining. Now, what does "it" mean? What does "it" point to? What is raining? Well, there really isn't an answer to that question. In the sentence, "It is raining," it doesn't really mean anything. It just means rain is happening. But English makes you put a subject in that sentence. You can't just say raining. You have to say it is raining. That's just an example of how much English likes subjects. Even when the subject doesn't really mean anything, English says, oh no, you need to put a subject in there. But there are some sentences where it doesn't work like that. In some very, very informal sounding sentences, English speakers will omit subjects. But I thought of two cases where English speakers commonly leave off a subject. And it's when the subject of the sentence is you. When you is the subject, there are two places where English speakers commonly leave the subject out. Can you think of what those cases might be? The first case is with imperatives. Do you know the word imperative? We've talked about it here before. An imperative is a command. An example of an imperative sentence could be, please have a seat, or be quiet, I'm trying to teach about grammar. Well, one of those sounds like a polite imperative, one of them sounds like a not very polite imperative, but those are both imperatives. In the first one, please take a seat, I have left out the pronoun you. We rarely say, please you take a seat, or you please take a seat. Now, we could make a sentence like, would you please take a seat? Or, if you would like to, you may take a seat. But in most imperatives, we just leave off the pronoun you. In fact, I think sometimes it sounds strange if we include the pronoun you. Although I think with negative imperatives, we do sometimes include the pronoun you. A parent might say to a child, don't you talk back to me? Don't you talk back to me? Or somebody might say, don't you dare do that. So those are cases where imperatives do use the pronoun you, but I think in a standard imperative, we just leave off the pronoun you, and usually, as I said, it sounds strange to include it. Please, come on in. Have a seat. Have a piece of cake. These are all imperatives, very polite-sounding imperatives. They just don't have a subject. I thought of another case where we often leave off the subject if the subject is you, and that's with informal, friendly questions. For instance, let's say you are in the grocery store and you're having trouble finding something, and somebody who works in the store comes up to you and says, need help finding something? Do you hear that? Need help finding something? Well, what they really mean is, do you need help finding something? But they left off the subject. They left off you. And the question came out, need help finding something? To me, that sounds like a perfectly good English question. It does sound very informal. I would never write something like that, but I would use a question like that. It sounds friendly, informal, and conversational. Another example of a sentence like that could be this one, and you might hear this one in a grocery store too. A checker might say to you, ready to check out? Instead of saying, are you ready to check out? They might just say, ready to check out? A checker might also say, find everything okay? And that's short for, did you find everything okay? So again, these sentences sound just fine even though they don't have subjects. So the general rule for English is every sentence must have a subject, but there are some very common exceptions to that rule, imperatives and very informal questions where the subject is you. And now, finally, it's time for the joke of the week. everybody's favorite part of the podcast. Everybody's favorite part of the week. Well, it might not actually be anybody's favorite part of the podcast, and I really don't think it's anybody's favorite part of the week. But I still think the joke of the week is a good thing. Because even if the jokes aren't funny, they can still tell us interesting things about English. Well, here is this week's joke. Where do dogs go when their tails fall off? Where do dogs go when their tails fall off? Okay, I admit, it's kind of a strange question. Their tails are falling off? Well, it doesn't really make sense, but just stay with me here. Where do dogs go when their tails fall off? Do you have any idea at all? This one's pretty strange. All right, where do dogs go when their tails fall off? To the retail store.
Huh?
What?
Why is that a joke? What does that even mean? Well, it means two things. A retail store is really just another word for a store. The word retail, R-E-T-A-I-L, has to do with buying and selling things. So it really has to do with stores and businesses where you can go and buy something. But retail also looks like it has a prefix on it. It looks like it has the prefix re, R-E. This prefix shows up in many, many verbs in English. And this prefix re often means again. It has other meanings too, but that's what it often means. Verbs that use this re prefix are very, very common. For instance, you can create something, and then you can recreate something. You can create it again. You can make it again. You can think about something, then you can rethink your idea. You can rethink your plan. You can think about it again. Or you could apply sunscreen. And then an hour later, you might reapply the sunscreen. Apply the sunscreen again. Verbs like this are very common. So the word retail kind of looks like one of those verbs. It kind of looks like one of those verbs with re. And I guess if that was a real verb, retail might mean to put a tail back on, to put a tail on again. So if a dog's tail fell off, maybe if the dog was wagging its tail too fast and too hard with too much energy, if the tail fell off, maybe you would take the dog to a retail store to have the tail put back on again. Well, that's the joke of the week this week. It's a strange one, but I like it anyway. Or maybe that's why I like it. How about you? Okay, it's quiz time again. Now, I have given you many different kinds of quizzes. Listening quizzes, vocabulary quizzes, spelling quizzes, grammar quizzes. And last week, I went back to doing listening quizzes, but I did it a little bit differently. And I think I'm going to do it that way again. Here's how it works. I'm going to read four sentences. I'm going to read each one twice, but I'm going to read them pretty quickly. The same way I might say them just in normal conversation, at that same speed. And it might be a little bit difficult to follow everything and to hear every word, but I want you to try. Try to write down exactly what I say. And if you need to pause or listen to the sentence again and again and again, that's fine. And after I have read each sentence twice, I will read each sentence again much more slowly. And you can see how much you were able to hear and write down correctly. Okay, does that make sense? Well, let's go with sentence number one. Now remember, I'm going to read these pretty quickly. Okay, sentence number one. Why'd you make so much soup? Is someone coming over for dinner? Why'd you make so much soup? Is someone coming over for dinner? Sentence number 2. My next-door neighbor let me borrow her tools so I can fix the dishwasher. My next-door neighbor let me borrow her tools so I can fix the dishwasher. Sentence number 3. It started snowing around noon, and I don't know when it will stop. It started snowing around noon, and I don't know when it will stop. And sentence number 4. The teacher had to stay up late grading papers. The teacher had to stay up late grading papers. Okay, how was that? Might have been a little bit tricky, huh? Because I did read them pretty fast. Okay, I'm about to give the answers, so pause here if you're not ready yet to hear them, or if you want to go back and listen to some of those sentences again. Okay, so now it's time for me to read the sentences much more slowly, so you can check to see how much you understood. Sentence number 1. Why'd you make so much soup? Is someone coming over for dinner? Why'd you make so much soup? Now, here's the thing about this one. This is why'd, W-H-Y apostrophe D, why'd you make so much soup? In other words, why did you make so much soup? And what's maybe especially tricky about this is that in regular American English pronunciation, why'd you comes out, why'd you? Why'd you make so much soup? Why did you make so much soup? That's an extremely common thing. And I think for many English language learners, it can be a little bit tricky because you might be trying to figure out, what does why'd you mean? Why'd you? What's that? Well, it's what happens when we say, why did you? Why'd you? Why'd you make so much soup? Sentence number 2. My next door neighbor, in other words, the neighbor who lives next to me, the next door neighbor, my next door neighbor let me borrow her tools so I can fix the dishwasher. My next door neighbor let me borrow her tools so I can fix the dishwasher. Sentence number 3. It started snowing around noon, and I don't know when it will stop. It started snowing around noon, and I don't know when it will stop. And sentence number 4. The teacher had to stay up late grading papers. The teacher had to stay up late grading papers. One thing that's difficult about this sentence is what happens to that word to, had to stay up late. In normal conversation, that to will come out as a t, something like that. The teacher had to stay up late. The teacher had to stay up late. Boy, that to almost disappears completely. It really turns into a t or a t. The teacher had to stay up late grading papers. And that grading papers, that's G-R-A-D-I-N-G. To grade papers is to read papers and evaluate them and give them a grade. And that's something that teachers have to do a lot of. Okay, well, how did you do on this listening quiz? We've reached the end of episode 48 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about anything you learned in this episode, or about anything you would like to learn in a future episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.